What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. It's Wednesday. Hope everyone's had a great week so far. Hope everyone's gearing up for the weekend. I'm pretty excited. I'm getting my shit together right now. I got my big tournament of the year this Saturday at Lake Champlain with the Elite Kayak Fishing Series. It's their championship. I got first place the last tournament they had, so hopefully I got some momentum and I'll crush some souls, but we'll see. But I'm excited to see everyone. Kim Wood, Jason Gardner, Rourke, there's a ton of people going to be there, so it's going to be a good event for the Northeast, and it's the first EKF championship, so it'd be nice to have that that trophy in my man cave. But yeah, man, I hope everyone else has got some good shit coming up. I'm not exactly sure. I know we got Pickwick coming up with Hobie. But other than that, I'm not really aware of what's going on. I haven't been paying attention, guys. I've been fucking lazy. I'm like, this time of year, I'm always, I'm like done. Like, I'm sick of fishing. I'm sick of, podcasting. I'm sick of it all. I'm sick of you fucks. I'm sick of it. I'm just kidding. I'm ranting, but no, I'm kind of tired, burnt out. So I'm kind of ready to wrap this season up. Hunting season starts in October. I'm looking forward to that, but, I got two more tournaments left and then that's it. I'm putting the kayak up for the most part. I might go out and do some October fishing, but nothing serious. But yeah, man, what a year, right? Fucking crazy. Went by real fast. So hope you guys all had a great season so far. But let me know how everything's going. Let me know what you guys got planned for this weekend. Make sure you guys tag me some pictures. I love hearing from you guys. But other than that, man, we'll jump right into this thing. I also got to thank my sponsors, Styx Fishing. I've been preaching about them all year long. You could probably say it better than I could, right? Six rods to cover all your needs, all your techniques, all your lures. All you need is six. Travis Moran, Nick the Informant Fisherman, they want to help you guys catch fish. They come up with a simple concept. It's easy. Even I can figure it out. They got six rods that they're color coordinated, they're number coordinated, like, and they all got certain uses. So check them out. Check out StixFishing.com. They also got a badass tutorial library full of information that will help you catch fish. Use discount code DARKWATERS. I'm pretty sure they're getting inventory stocked up right now, so you may be able to get all six rods for $500. But go check it out. Use that discount code. DARKWATERS is also powered by Dakota Lithium. I can't thank those guys enough. They made this season awesome. Like, those batteries, most of you guys probably know about them. They're fucking awesome. So check them out. X-Zone Lures, capital D, capital W, 15 yourself a discount on some badass plastics, and Rogue Fishing Company. Don't lose your shit. Buy some gear to save your shit. Discount code DARKWATERS. That's it, guys. My next guest is Adam Reiser with his good friend. I'm just going to call him Mark because his last name is a tongue twister. I'm not even going to butcher it. But Mark owns a company or started a company called Bass Brains. He's making swim baits, t-shirts, hats. Good shit, man. I started looking at, I actually bought one of his t-shirts, good quality, awesome designs, but, man, he's coming up with these, swim baits, and, that's kind of what we talked about this episode. I'm not really a swim bait guy yet. I want to try, but it's just been something, I hadn't really added to my arsenal yet, but, next season I could see myself getting into it. But, Adam and Mark both talk about, swim baits. Mark talks about designing them and some of the things that he's had to deal with as far as, like, starting his own swim bait company and shit like that. But real cool dudes. I've had Adam on the show multiple times. He's one of my favorite people to talk to. But it's a great episode. So if you're a swim bait geek, this one's for you. Make sure you check out Bass Brains Company. You know, their motto is keep on fishing. So anyways, guys, enjoy the episode. Enjoy the rest of the week. Crush the weekend. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Ciao. All right, what's up, gentlemen? How are we doing?
What's going on?
Not much, man.
Well.
Dude, I'm excited, man. First off, Adam, congrats on a sixth place finish up at La Crosse, dude. That's gonna be pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, that was a fun one. And I made it too. That was like a literally a fun tournament, fun way to catch them. I finally figured out enough about that place to where now I think I'm going to feel confident anytime I go there, and I'm already looking forward to going back when I can. So yeah, like it up in La Crosse. Life is good up there.
Dude, I'm so pissed. Like, this is like the second year in a row that I was planning on going there, but I don't know if I pushed out or if I made excuse. I don't know. Like, I keep making excuses or whatever, but I just every time that it comes around, I always find a reason not to go. I don't know if it's because like it's the end of the season or getting closer to the end of the season. I've already spent a lot of money, a lot of time on the road, and not to mention, dude, I get kind of tired of fishing this time of the year because of how the season went. So I don't really have a lot of motivation to do a lot of traveling and shit like around the end of August.
Well, you did. Obviously, you got to go to La Crosse at some point. You did. Yeah, I mean, it's anyone that can needs to go when they can. It's a bucket list place. But you also had a couple good weeks of fishing there, to where you probably were pretty satisfied between like catching a bunch of fish at the Susky, and then you won that tournament right before that, I think. So
yeah,
you had a pretty good few weeks there if you had to justify taking off a week.
Yeah, true. I'm excited about this, man. I feel like we're gonna talk about a lot of shit besides fishing, just because of the people we have on. Adam, me and you kind of didn't realize we knew each other for so long, but back when you were the early days of your band, or whatever, being in a hardcore bands, I remember I booked your band to come play in Panama City, Florida. And then Mark, obviously you got a history, playing music and things like that, but it's a we're all kind of like older men now, but I'm looking at the past. At one point when we were young and we were walking on heads and enjoying life, back when we were, late teens, early adults. But I'm really excited about this. But first off, Mark, you've never been on the show, bud. Adam, you don't got to introduce yourself, but just kind of like just let everyone know who you are, what you're doing, what you've done, kind of shit like that.
Yeah, my name's Mark. I guess, as of recently, I launched a brand called Bass Brains. It's just a fit all-around fishing brand, and going to drop some swim baits that I've been working on over the last couple years. And, just trying to keep up with all that good stuff. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this, and I do everything myself. So it's kind of, I'm not very social, I'm not too much on the social media. So it's kind of been a learning curve trying to like post every day and be on top of everything. And then on top of that, working and putting stuff out there for the world. Cause I I'm always in my shop working, but I never really put a lot of stuff out. I've had a lot of baits for the last couple of years that I just been throwing myself. And now I'm getting to the point where I gotta try to drop some for some people to check out. So yeah.
Oh, cool. Now, what's your history with Adam? I know you both played bands, both guitar players. You being a former guitar player of Terror, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, I played in Throwdown.
Throwdown. I get the two bands always confused.
Nah, yeah, we toured with Terror a couple times, but no, Adam and I, honestly, I don't really know exactly where we met. I mean, my small band played some shows. Or a smaller band before I even played in Throwdown, played some shows, I think, with Adam's band in Nashville. But we kind of just became roommates. I don't even know how we became roommates, Adam, really.
We probably were in the same room together. Our bands probably played together in probably 2002, 2003. And then we didn't know it, or we didn't know each other at the time. And I was living with Mark's bandmate around 2006 is when I moved in with him. And then when Mark's bandmate left that room, Mark moved into that room. So it was me and one other dude and Mark all living in the same house in Huntington Beach, California for a few years. And that's, we'll call it what, 2007? Something like that?
Yes. Yeah. It seems like, it was a long time ago. Those days, Huntington Beach, that seems so long ago. And that was like the early days of Huntington Beach, So
sure.
For me. So it's crazy. It just seems like an eternity ago. But yeah, Adam and I have known each other for a long time, and we went quite a few years without talking for no other reason except for life, just, Adam moved away. I started doing other shit. And then we kind of, rekindle our friendship through fishing, you know? So that's been cool. Nice.
Well, what is it, man? What's up with like going from the music and going into fishing? It's like completely opposites. Is that something you guys you've always been doing?
It's, you know, we were both brought up, you know, fishing as kids, like, you know, just haphazardly or walking down to a pond, a creek, a river, whatever. So I think there's a little bit of that enjoyment in our history. But when we were living together, Mark found a few places that were kind of sneak holes, and he told me about them. I didn't realize you could even really catch bass in Southern California at the time. And so that was around, I don't know, 2011 or so, maybe 20, sometime around then is when I started, you know, fishing for bass in California, and not too many years after that, moving back out to the Southeast, I got back into it again. But Mark was probably in and out of it a little bit. And then I think probably when you said, hey, I want to actually get a kayak, that's when you and I were talking regularly.
I mean, I was just fishing whenever I could, you know. I mean, I think Adam and I kind of grew up in, you know, he grew up in the South. I grew up in the Northeast, lots of places to fish. And then I think both of us, when we were out in California, kind of didn't realize at the time that California fishing was, you know, something that was really big. Because, I mean, you know, then at that time, too, you really had to be involved in fishing to really understand how good it can be out there. But, you know, I think I saw Adam posting some stuff about some tournaments. I was fishing actually a lot a couple years prior to hitting Adam back up. And then, you know, I just hit him up one day. I'm like, dude, what have you been up to? Like, you've been fishing all the time. And we just kind of just started talking, and he kind of pointed me in the right direction of, like, you know, kayaks to get, because, you know, I couldn't afford a boat, and, you know, barely had a truck that would even pull a boat. So the kayak was the best option. And I was tired of fishing from the shore. So, and then we just kind of, you know, pretty soon after that, you know, I was thinking about moving, getting out of California, trying to live a simpler life and fish more. So, you know, now I'm out in the Midwest now. So Adam and I get to see each other a little bit more than we used to.
Now, have you been bitten by the bug like Adam? Are you doing tournaments, or are you just strictly just recreationally fishing?
I fish like 5 days a week if I can. I work for myself. Even before I was doing the company, you know, I still just whatever I can do to not have to clock in and clock out of a job. So I have a lot of time on my hands to fish. I love fishing tournaments. Financially, it's tough for me to do, especially now with the company going. I got to spend all my money on materials and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's times where I want to do the bigger tournaments, but shit, you know, you're fishing against these guys. You know, I'm well-versed in the guys that are in the tournament. So there's, you know, I'm competitive, but at the same time, like, sometimes I just want to go. I just tell Adam, like, hey, I'll just go hang at the tournament and fish and while you practice, and we'll just chill. And then that way I don't have the, you know, I don't have the commitment to do it. But I did a handful of tournaments with Adam when I moved out here that were really fun. You know, it was cool.
Well, I know, you know, you build mostly swim baits. And I'm not gonna lie, I haven't really been bitten by the swim bait bug yet. That might be my next year thing that I try to get into. Just haven't gotten there, but I know there's a lot of talk to it. Is California kind of a reason why you guys both kind of got into like swim baits? I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like swim baits are very like more popular there than they are here on the East Coast, the Northeast. Because whenever I talk, you know, I have a lot of people on the show there from the West Coast, and they're always throwing the big swim baits. I don't know if, like, you know, if they're fishing deeper waters and fishing like the trout style swim baits or whatever, but it just seems like California has like a, you know, a swim bait fetish.
Yeah, I was exposed to them early on in California, even in my very first days of bass fishing, and when I didn't know what was going on. The few guys you run into fishing for the bank or a kayak, like, it seemed like at least one of them had like one big bait tied on, and it was like a usually a Huddleston or some kind of California made bigger swim bait. And of course you would ask them, oh, you caught anything on that? And they would give their story about how it worked. And you do a little bit of homework and you find out that the trout lakes have like a big swim bait history, and that a lot of that swim bait innovation, you know, happened in California. And you could walk into any tackle shop down there and see a wall hanging with a lot of swim baits. And so it was pretty common to run into it out there, even in my early age of getting into it. Whereas if you walk into a, you know, a tackle shop in Southeast during that same time, you're not going to see those baits. So yeah, being out west for me, it exposed me to it. And even some of the very first baits that I ever bought when I got into bass fishing, like a Huddleston was one of the first ones that I'd ever purchased or caught a fish on. So yeah, it was early on that it was at least familiar with them, even if I wasn't regularly using them. It wasn't until later on in Tennessee that I really went down that rabbit hole with them. But yeah, it's they've been something I've been familiar with for a little while now.
Yeah, I mean, I think same thing. Like just living out there, there's definitely a lot of guys that throw baits. I had a couple buddies that, you know, just strictly threw swim baits. But personally, you know, I just got into making them. It wasn't even that I was like throwing them all the time. I was just like, I just want to make bigger baits. And you know, I made like, you know, like a 5-inch wake bait or something, and brought it to this pond that I fished, you know, and caught a fish on it. And I think that's what really, like, I wasn't making baits to sell. I was just like, this is sick. Like making a bait from scratch, taking it, painting it, bringing it out to wherever you're going to fish, catching a fish on it. That's why I started even messing with swim baits. And then, you know, as I went down the rabbit hole of just, you know, what makes a bait swim better than others, or, you know, like you know, that's me in a nutshell. I just like working in my shop, figuring stuff out. So I kind of naturally just gravitated towards that.
Well, let me ask you this. You a lot of people like in the industry, like they want to get into it somehow, whether it's making rods, making plastics, whatever. Like everyone, a lot of people have like these little basement projects. Like, up here, I can name about 10 people who are trying to make baits or rods or something like that. Like when you're going into that, like, and it seems like it's very competitive, right? Because if a lot of people are doing, you obviously, if you want to make it, you don't want to do exactly what everyone else is doing. When it comes to swim baits, like, how do you keep it kind of like original? Like, do you know that you're, like, you're not just going to be like a mom and pop shop, like that, or whatever, that just you know, that just stays around your local area, but someone who wants to like build a business and like grow it. Like, what are the things you can, because like whenever someone says like they're building a rod, I'm like, are you building a rod, or are you getting blanks from here and then putting some stickers on it and then you're saying that's your rod? I mean, I'm not saying that's exactly how they do it, but a lot of time that is how they do it. It's just like these people are all using the same blanks, so it's not like you're really building, like you're just wrapping some shit around it. It's like, dude, I'm not going to pay $300 for it right now because it doesn't seem like there's anything original about it or unique about it. And if anyone building rods, do not get pissed at me for saying that. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, it's a saturated industry a lot of times with certain products and stuff. And so, like you, who's like motivated like to build this, you know, this. And by the way, Bass Brains, I like that. I like it a lot. Bad Brains, yeah. I get it. But you know,
I play off words. I mean, I don't know if everyone's gonna get that, but it was.
No, I got a Misfit tattoo and a social. Like I got it right away. So that's why I bought the shirt. But you know, but what are you doing to really think about like? Like being you, like what makes your swim baits and like and special, yeah. You know,
that's a hard question. I mean, swim baits are swim baits. I mean, there's it's we're all mimicking the same bait fish,
right?
You know, there's two piece baits, you know, one piece baits, two piece, three piece, four piece, whatever, you know. And it's like, you know, there's definitely some guys that have done some innovative stuff. There's a lot of Japanese guys that do a lot of really cool stuff. For me, honestly, like my biggest thing is just making baits that swim good. And I enjoy the process. I really like painting the baits because I have a, you know, a paint background. But the company as a whole, it was more just like, honestly, it was the swim baits is just part of it. You know, the shirts, the like, you know, eventually I want to get into making some other stuff for fishing, like accessories and stuff like that, that I just don't, I personally don't see, much of, or if, you know, I'm not knocking anybody or knocking brands. I just love fishing, but I kind of wanted to do my own twist on some clothing or some designs. I have some, you know, cool buddies that do really cool art, and was excited to ask them to do some stuff. And, you know, I think just being involved in fishing in general is what I wanted to do. And I'm just kind of going with it. I'm not trying to do anything.
Right.
You know, I'm just really just doing my own thing and however it comes out. And the swim baits, you know, all I can say is, like, I lose my mind making these stupid things and spend a lot of damn time. I mean, my friend was just here over the weekend just visiting, and he got to witness, like, me still tweaking out on a bait that Adam's thrown and says is amazing. Like, but it's, there's still little things that, you know, drive me crazy about it. I've made like a couple different molds. I'm still working on some stuff. It's a never ending process for me. And it's, you know, at some point I just got to be okay with what I put out there. But, you know, I'm pretty much ready to drop some baits. I've made a handful of them. I got to paint some more of them, but, you know, I got like a small glide that I was working on, and it's like about 7 inches, and, you know, it's a fun little bait to throw. You can do a lot of different things with it, you know?
Yeah. So what's the process? Like, when you're doing this as a business, like, you know, like some people, they build molds and they're constantly building new molds and things like that. Like, what's your product? Like, what, how do you design just like swim baits? I mean, you know, some people, I got one guy around here. He just does a lot of like woodwork type swim baits, if that makes any sense. And like, you know, he's in his shop, and he's a genius. Like, you know, whatever, he can take wood and turn it into a trout or whatever. Like, what's kind of like your whole process of building these things?
Yeah, I mean, I personally start with wood. I'm not a, you know, I was never really like, you know, my grandfather was a carpenter, but I didn't really get that bug. I'm not very good, you know, with working with wood. I just had to teach myself how to, you know, carve baits out of wood. I just found it was easier than clay. You know, clay's, I don't know. There's something about clay that I just never liked messing with. So yeah, I start with wood. I carve a master out of that, and then cast it in silicone, and then, you know, pour in resin from there. But it stems far beyond, like, depending on if you want to internally weight your baits, if you want to drill the holes or have the holes in the mold and push weights up into the bait that way. You know, there's so many factors, your hook hangers, your line ties, where the line ties sit, where the hook hangers sit. Especially on glide baits, you know, it's tricky. It's a lot of work. It's, but yeah, I like to start with wood. I just feel more comfortable with it. I feel like I can get a more symmetrical shape with wood, which is important, you know?
Right. Now, Adam, like, what do you like to look at, like, a swim bait? What makes a swim bait good for you? Because, like, there's a lot of different styles of swim baits out there. Like, what's something that's really, you know, that's important to you with a swim bait?
Really, my learning process with throwing swim baits, both the hard baits and the soft baits, anyone that's kind of jumped into it, they're probably starting out with the same handful of baits that everyone starts out with, and they all get it done. Like, whatever homework you're going to do or search on YouTube or anything and learn, like, where you should begin with, I was probably right there doing that same thing. So I just kind of learned what I could apply in the Middle Tennessee area. There's not a lot of grass here. It's mostly rock. I tend to favor a lot of like highland reservoirs. And I got into it because there was one winter, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I was without a kayak throughout the winter, and I still wanted to fish. And so I ended up just fishing from the bank. And I was like, well, I want to try the big swim bait thing. And so I only threw big baits, and immediately saw results, got bites in the middle of winter on glide baits and on, you know, Huddlestons, and, it, you know, the light bulb went off, like, okay, this works. And you can target some bigger size fish. And at the time I was looking to figure out how to get bigger bites. I had kind of, checked off all the boxes on finesse fishing and understood that, but I would be, you know, getting beat in a tournament by guys catching bigger bites. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to the extreme of the big bite and see what can happen with the big baits. And as far as what I look for, one, just ones that track well, ones that I guess are versatile. That's one thing that I'm most excited about with Mark's baits and Bass Brains is the versatility of them. One of the things that Mark's really put attention to on these baits is no matter what speed, whether you're creepy crawling it or burning it, they're still going to be effective. And there's so many baits out there that are really good, but only with one speed, whether it's a medium, slow, or fast. And so you end up having a tackle box full of swim baits when ideally you'd like to have, you know, one or two baits that can kind of do it all. And I think that's what's happening with these Bass Brains baits is they're going to really take away how many baits you have to keep on you if you want to throw some of the bigger baits. And they're not oversized either. And so I think they're just really usable baits in addition to getting the bites too. So the more time I get to spend with them, the more excited I am. And we didn't really get to lay into them hard this spring. It was mostly a summer. This end of summer is kind of when they've been available. So I'm pretty optimistic about 2022 season for swim baiting, that's for sure.
So what's the because one of the reasons why I do because when you dig into the world of swim baits, it can get a little overwhelming because you're not only you're looking like the price of them, but like figuring out like which ones you need. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense, like they're expensive,
yeah.
But not like one size fits all type lure, like with a chatterbait or something. You can get away with a lot with like a half ounce chatterbait or something like that. So it was an easier concept for me to get into than the swim bait. Not that I really care about the price that much, but you know, especially when you're new into something. Because I remember when I first started fishing, like how much money that I spend on shit I didn't need or buy the wrong stuff. You know, when it comes to swim bait, what's one way to kind of like avoid that? Like, what are we looking for in them?
I mean, you just kind of have to dive in and just, you know, pick one you think looks cool or a company you support or a guy. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, there's so many guys make so many good baits and, you know, like Adam saying, you know, versatility and being able to run a bait a bunch of different ways. I mean, there's guys that make, but then there's guys that just make the best glide that just, hey, that's what it is. And it does it the best. And I mean, I have a lot of respect for that too. You know, like I'm kind of just a tweaker in that sense where like, I kind of want my bait to do a bunch of different things, but I'm not saying that's the right way or wrong way to make a bait. Cause there are guys who make just a sick glide, you know, Matt from 86 baits, like that dude's glide bait is sick, you know? And it's, you know, I don't know. You kind of just have to pick a guy you support, you know, or like right. Go to his page, check out what he's doing. And shit, it could be you like his paint jobs or you saw a swim video. But I mean, they're, you know, you got to pay up for him because.
His audio drop on you?
Yeah, his audio dropped.
His audio dropped. I know one of the things when people ask me like, hey, where should I start? What should I get into? Yeah, you're good. Now, like if you're into like burning a rattle trap, like I would recommend like a multi-jointed bait that you could burn. If you're into like frogging or some top water, like a weight bait, like go that route and only throw a weight bait for a swim bait. And then if you're into like jerk bait fishing or some really attentive style power fishing, a glide bait's probably up your alley. So it's kind of like what, you know, if you already kind of know what you prefer as far as what lures to toss, I think that's a good starting point that you probably will excel better at whatever lures more in your wheelhouse. And those are kind of the three different ways: top water, you know, mid column, or if you're like a jig guy that creepy crawls a right. lure, then a Holston on the bottom is probably your thing. So there's something for everyone out there.
Yeah. Now, Adam, what do you think makes it like, why are the bigger fish? Is it just the size? Is it the movement? Like, what do you think really draws in the that bigger fish bite that everyone swears by?
Yeah, it's a bigger opportunity. It's something they haven't seen. I think I think just that point, it's something they haven't seen a lot of. Out west where those big baits are more common, like there's more considerations you usually have to put into it. But in the southeast where you don't see them as much and there's still plenty of big forage like gizzard shad or big bluegill that these bass are eating. It's just a it's a prey opportunity, and there's something hypnotic about a glide bait in the same way that like a jerk bait can just about hypnotize a fish or produce a strike. A glide bait can kind of do the same thing. A wake bait, sometimes I've seen that just make a fish unleash on it when normally it probably wouldn't have. So it just triggers a response in these fish that otherwise may not be triggered. So it's something fun to do. And even if you're not catching fish on it, these baits are really, really great at drawing the fish out to where you can see them if you're fishing them in clear water. So there's still a lot to learn, even if you're not hooking into the fish or if you don't always catch the fish. There's no shortage of things you can learn, whether you want to apply it to your swim bait game or you want to apply it to your more traditional bass fishing tackle game. There's always something to learn. And so these bigger baits have taught me a lot about things that I can apply in other aspects of my bass fishing.
Okay, cool. Now, Mark, when designing, like, are you designing like custom baits or are you actually building like a line of baits at this point?
I have a bunch of baits I've been working on. I have a bunch of molds for a bunch of different baits, but the two that I just been focusing on are just a glide bait and a wake bait. I think those are the two, you know, most versatile baits. I mean, especially a wake bait. It's like, it's an easy bait to throw, you know, you just throw it out there. I mean, you could do a couple different things with it, but it's a topwater bait. So the glide bait's a little trickier, you know, depending on, you know, there's a lot more technique involved to making a glide work, you know, as good as it possibly can. My glide's small on the smaller side. So, you know, it still gets a good glide out of it, but you know, you could work it fast or you could, you know, twitch it and kind of make it go back and forth. I actually have one right here. I just painted this one for myself the other day. Shit, where's my camera?
Oh wow.
But yeah, this is the one of the glides. And it's just a 7-inch glide bait. It's not too big, but it's not like too small. You know, I've caught in quite a few good fish out here for Missouri, you know. It's fun. We got a lot of clear rivers and clear lakes out here that it's so fun, you know, watching these bass come out of the brush piles or, you know, coming out of from deep, they just come up out of deep water and just smash it. A lot of guys don't throw those kind of baits where I live too. So I kind of have free range to just go cruise around. It's not like shooting fish in a barrel by any means. It's still a lot of work. I haven't picked up any other sort of bait in almost a year, except for when Adam and I fished in Tennessee. We ledge fish for a little bit and that was fun, but other than that I just been throwing swim baits, you know, and it just takes dedication. It's like an all day thing, you know. Like some days you get so many bites and you catch so many fish, and some days you don't get shit. I mean, it's kind of like any day fishing, really, to be honest. It's no different. I'll bring one rod and a swim bait. I'll just bring my glide bait. That's it. And that's all I'm fishing for 8 hours straight, you know? And a lot of it's just, you know, just for testing purposes, seeing what it does, seeing, you know, how it hooks up the fish. If I lose fish, what do I got to change? What, you know, was it my fault? Was it just a fluke? So, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing over the last years, just throwing pretty much the glide bait.
Now, when you were designing these, like, what was kind of like the challenge of that? Because I think when I was listening to the Cast and Crank podcast that you did not too long ago, you know, not everybody wants to give you the secret. So I imagine a lot of this is like, I mean, you get what you can from like YouTube or whatever you can, but like to design something as yours, like, what were like some of the challenges of trying to really like figure out what you wanted out of that bait and how to make it work with, you know, the information that you had? Cause it sounds like you came in this pretty new, like you weren't like, like you've been building baits your whole life. It was, you know, it sounded like, you know,
I mean, I had been building baits on my own. No one knew I was really doing it. But that being said, yeah, as far as like some of the guys that have been doing it for a long time, yeah, the time that they have compared to me, the bigger challenges, and one of the things that I always, you know, I kind of realized early on, but I definitely wasted a lot of time was, and this is just me personally, is, you know, you want a bait to look like of the fish you're trying to mimic, but the shape of the bait, you know, plays a huge part in that. So, you know, the skinniest, like take a bluegill, for instance, it's like, it's really hard to take a bluegill and make a bait work that's is slender as what an actual bluegill is. That's why you see a lot of bigger, wider baits. It's easier for those baits to, you know, put weights in them and make them swim a little bit better. And, you know, I went the other route and tried to make skinny baits, and I'm, you know, just dedicated to making them work. And there's some guys that make some really cool thin profile baits that swim really good, but it takes a little bit more time and understanding. And yeah, I learned a lot of stuff on my own as of recently. You know, Matt from 86, he's just, Nick introduced us, and man, that guy's just been super cool. I got to give him a shout out just because he's he's just a good dude who's kind of helped me out in some sticky situations where I was like, shit, I don't know what to do anymore. I've exhausted all my options. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, you know, and so I really appreciate all that. But yeah, every day. I mean, I don't have this shit figured out. Every single day figure that out. It's multiple things per day, you know, even when right. The bait's done, you think you got a bait made, you make the mold, you pour the resin, you test it out, you paint it, you catch a fish on it, sick, go to do it again, something's different. I don't know why. Maybe it was humid that day, maybe it, you know, it was too cold, you know, maybe you had moisture in your resin, you know, there's so many little things, like people don't understand, jeez, like what goes into just even making a bait, making multiple baits work good, you know, and making them the same every single time, right. Every time you put, you know, it's just, that's my challenge, is I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. So it kind of, I would have loved to put this bait out a year ago, but I just can't, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why these baits are so expensive. I didn't realize the hard work and, you know, everything that goes into building one, I guess.
Oh, it's 100% the reason why they're expensive. Cause yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll encourage people to go carve up a bait, and it's one thing too, carving a bait out of wood. Don't get me wrong. Making one bait out of wood, like I can bust a bait out really quick. Making 10 baits out of wood that all swim the same, that is crazy. Some of those guys that do that, it's nuts. But then, okay, so take your one bait, make a silicone mold out of it, pour the resin, pour the tail, put the weights in it, put the hooks on it, and mimic that. I mean, it's just a lot of work. And have no problems, no issues. Paint it, have the paint not blow off of it right away.
Your temperature in your workshop just that evening, like that can change day to day.
It all changes, and it's I have a lot of respect for anybody who makes baits. I don't even care what kind of bait it is. I mean, it's just a lot of work. And then the bigger they are, the more work they are, and the more material it costs. And you know, buying stuff in bulk is just getting more expensive. Resin's getting more expensive, and just the time you could have into making one bait, let alone some of these guys making 200 at a time. Like they're just sitting in their shop busting these things out. It's a shit ton of work. It's a shit ton of work. And I'm not even, you know, I'm not even that close to any of those guys. I can't even imagine making 200 baits. I can't. There's no way.
Yeah. And the consistency, I didn't think about that. Like, I mean, when someone buys your product, you know, if you're selling something online, and, you know, and you, and it shows that you have, you know, whatever 20 in stock or something. They all got to consistently work the same, you know, and I didn't realize like, close. Yeah,
pretty close. I mean, they should be pretty damn close. And you know, you make a mold, so it is pretty close if you figure out a way to weight it the same every time. And I mean, obviously there's ways to do it and you can make them pretty close, but every once in a while you just get one or two that you have no idea why that's why it's important to test all your baits too before you sell them and stuff. You know, that's what I've been doing is just, you know, I made a crap ton of glide baits and before I paint them, I go out and test them and make sure they swim good. They sink the right way. You know, it's just trial and error. And I'm just learning every day as I go through this, you know, I'm nobody. I work in a shitty, tiny little shop that is not even ventilated. I don't even know how I'm going to work this winter because I'm dreading the cold. But yeah, I'm just like a, you know, a normal dude. I just want to be involved with fishing. I just love fishing. So, you know, that's kind of that's why I do this.
Oh, I like it. Like, there's no bullshit behind it. No, you're not trying to fluff anyone or anything like that. It's you love fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Just love fishing. Just want to be involved with fishing. If I can make a bait that somebody likes and catches fish on it, sick. I'm psyched, you know. That's all I really care about is just fishing with my buddies and, you know, not clocking into work and doing my own damn thing and shit. What if I can do it with fishing? That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm psyched on that. Yeah, so. Dude.
100%. So how much how many of your products, you know, like your lures have you gotten out and like, what has been the review? I know Adam swears by them. Have you been happy with like with what people have been telling you so far?
Honestly, I've only handed baits out to my buddies. I haven't gotten any out. I'm going to drop some probably at the end of this week. You know, I'll give guys baits and just see how they like them. Or, you know, last time I was out in California, I took a handful of baits with me and brought out some dudes that I used to fish swim baits with and said, hey, you know, like, tell me what you think. And yeah, everyone seems to be psyched. You know, it's one of those things that a bait is an elusive thing. Like, one guy is going to love it. One guy is going to hate it. One guy's going to catch a giant fish on it and praise it. And one guy's going to catch nothing on it and say it sucks. Yeah. I'm not really, my biggest thing is I just want to put out something that I'm happy with and that I know that I exhausted everything I have into the bait and then cool. Here it goes. Right now I'm just waiting for hardware. I've been waiting almost 2 weeks for some split rings and, some hook eyes and, I would have put some baits out already, but yeah, I'm just waiting around for some stuff. So hopefully, I have a lot.
Is that situation getting any better with like the supply? I know that's been an issue for like the last 15 months. Is it getting better? Like finding stuff, or is it something you think it's going to get better, or is it just progressively worse?
Some stuff is, some stuff isn't. Like I know outside of the swim bait realm, like you know, just through Dugout and talking as to what Dugout Tackle has in Marietta, Georgia. And they've got established relationships with companies for decades now. And it's still like some of them are like, hey, we may not have these certain reels in for a few more months. And boy, that sure was the case for like the last year and a half is like, everything's like on back order. We're not sure when it's going to come in. So whether it's a lure or a reel, a rod, or in Mark's case, like a bill for a swim bait or, you know, hardware for it. It's a lot of it is just still kind of sitting and wait.
Yeah. I mean, I called a place up today. I got split rings from, and I'm like, you guys told me you had these in stock. He's like, yeah, it's weird. It says we have them in stock. I don't know why they haven't shipped out yet. I'm like, yeah, I ordered them last week on Monday. And he's like, okay, cool. Yeah. I think they should probably go out today. You'll receive a confirmation. And like, literally when I hung up the phone, I don't know if it's laziness or people. It might be just lack of people working right now.
Right.
You know, people
that
are
too, short, yeah.
People are shorthanded. They don't have, you know, they don't have a lot of the staff that they had. So a lot of people are like probably doing double the work. I mean, I get it. Yeah. It sucks. I mean, even for clothes, it's like forget finding a hat that you like that you want to get a something printed on it. Like, it's probably 8 weeks back ordered. You know, you kind of have to just deal with what you can find right now. If you're a brand, or you're, you know, luckily you can still get resin, and you can still get hardware. I've just personally, I think, just been waiting too long for some of the stuff that to come, you know.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, shit. Is there anything else you want to say about Bass Brains before I ask Adam some weird questions? Like, I mean, for one, I love the shirts. I gotta get a hat. But yeah, I love what I see so far.
Yeah, I'm gonna put some stuff out for fall, like some hoodies and some different hats. And yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody who's, you know, messaged me, said nice things. Like, a lot of people have just been really cool and said a lot of nice things, and there's been a few guys that have really like supported the brand, and I don't know, just it gets me psyched to talk about fishing with people and to have somebody say they like what you do. And yeah, that's honestly, I just want to say thanks to everybody who's just, you know, followed the page or, you know, said something cool. Like, that's rad. It gets me psyched. So
right on. Adam, sixth place at lacrosse. Dude, you got some pretty good points right now, dude. Like, how are you feeling about the rest of the season? I mean, you got one more tournament. I'm not even sure if you're doing it, but and then you got the TOC.
Yeah, so that sixth place, they just released the updated AOI points for Hobie BOS today. That bumped me back into – I wasn't tied for, like, a four-way tie for 10th. That lacrosse finish has got me sitting in eighth place right now. But as everyone has already kind of said, and it's coming more into the picture here, is that it's all going to come down to TOC. There's so many neck and neck AOI point, like, you know, it's just neck and neck. So TOC is the one that's going to really either launch you up there or hold you back. So that's what it's going to come down to. So next week I am fishing the Hobie BOS on Pickwick.
Home lake.
Yep. Home lake. I think I'm going to hop on with AJ next Monday to talk more about Pickwick on a BOS live chat. So be on the lookout for that. But that'll be the last big one for the year. I don't think I'm going to make it down to Louisiana for the KBF championship. So it'll just be Pickwick and then I believe TOC. But there's going to be all kinds of good, like, fall and winter series. I know Steve Owens has got a lot of stuff that he's scheming up and cooking. So even after TOC, I think there's going to be a handful of winter events on some really, really good lakes for, you know, Southeast guys at least to hop in on.
You don't stop or take a break, man. I'm telling you right now, dude, at the end of this month, I got my championship with the that one series coming on Saturday. And then I got a local championship, and then I'm done for the season. I'm gonna pack my kayak up, get my rifle, my bow ready.
Yeah.
And then all, you know, obviously the Northeast, it's gonna get cold here real quick, real soon. It's already starting. The temperature's already starting. Dude, it's been a great fall so far. I mean, it's a real fall. Like, it's been a while since I've had it. Like this time last year, I was sweating my balls off. Now it's like, you know, like I'm out there, you know, like catching big ass fish because they're starting to move up now.
The hoodies are out. Yeah.
Yeah, the hoodies,
I thought we were gonna be able to do last year after we did our lacrosse tournament. There was a small group of us that went up to Mille Lacs in Minnesota and did some fishing up there. And you know, we got to wear some hoodies there in September, which that was awesome. And I didn't get to make it up this year, so I know that there's guys that are still beating up on the smallmouth real good as they're feeding up north right now. But it's still dog days of summer here in the Southeast. I think schedule wise, like, August and September are usually the leanest months on my tournament schedule throughout the year. It's still, you know, you would think that December, January, like, you would have some more open time, but I don't hunt or anything. I'd be smart if I did, but usually that there's some good series and events coming up in the wintertime here. And obviously, like, we don't ice over as far south as we are, so we can keep going, but I feel like now is kind of the slowest time, and then it's just going to get back into semi-frequent events once we get into early winter again, late fall, early winter.
Well, not fishing, but do you ever, like, because like I said, like, I'm exhausted right now. Like, I'm not – it's hard for me to get motivated to just go fish right now. Like, you know, I've had some time off, but it's like, now I'm going to fish next weekend. But, yeah, like, do you ever get to that where it's just like you're just doing it, running and gunning it for so long, and, like, it's just like – I would love to have a break and just do other things.
No, the fishing is my break from my other things. Like my work in the service industry in Nashville is so high energy and against my normal personality that the fishing to me is decompression time. Even though, yeah, gotcha. Like a Hobie tournament, we're practicing hard. The hours are long and there's, you know, plenty of thoughts and consideration and map study and all that goes into it. But that's a labor to love. You know, I enjoy right. doing that stuff, and I'm usually doing it while surrounded by a small group of my friends. Like, so that's, you know, that's where I like my mind to be, is figuring out how to catch fish on a certain body of water. So that is my, like, time. Well, yeah, the long drives or the wind chill time or, you know, filling up the gas tank a bunch of times. Yeah, that's the part that's a bummer and that you identify as strictly work. But man, once I'm on the water and I'm given my chance to actually get a check doing something I love, like, I'm pretty happy about that. And the fact that we can do it like year round, this far south, like, I'll take advantage of it. And as long as there's other guys that want to get out there in competitions too, which usually coming into the wintertime, you're getting a little bit of cabin fever, depending on how wintry things are. Like, there's usually no shortage of guys that want to get in on it. So yeah, I don't foresee myself getting burned out on the fishing anytime soon. I can burn myself out in just a week of hard practicing sometimes, but it's more of just an exhaustion, I want a break from fishing. I can be a day or two removed from a really, really exhausting tournament and still be like, all right, I want to get back out and fish again. It may not be that same body of water, but I'm still in my fishing phase of my life where, like, I'm not burnt out. I'm stoked to get out there. Every day is a new chance to learn.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like the actual fishing, because, you know, you're right. Once you get in the water, it's like, well, this is fun again. But I think it's everything else that goes with our sport. Like, it's the loading of the shit of your gear, you know, your kayak, getting there, unloading your kayak, you know, setting it all up, getting in the water, then getting off the water, loading your kayak back up, going home, unloading. I think that was like the part that really, like, got me, because it was the first year I really went out there some Hobies. I didn't realize how tough it was going to be to do, like, especially to do like two Hobie events, like, back to back. I'm like, man, this is exhausting. It's just like it's just the I guess, like, the work of it. Yeah. The work of it. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to load my kayak. Sometimes that's been like the reason why I don't fish a certain day, is because, like, I just don't feel like loading my kayak up. Like, there's been a lot of times I just left my kayak in the truck because I'm like, as long as I don't unload it, I'll be okay. I'll feel like wanting to go fishing tomorrow.
That's the trick. Just leave it on the
my fishing buddies motivate me, man. When I see that they're so, like, hardcore, like, if you ever fish like a handful of consecutive days with, you know, your Cody Miltons and your Russ Snyders, and you see that their work ethics, and see how, like, they're down to launch at a million different ramps and no matter how far drive, when you see, like, how devoted these guys are, that pushes you to want to, like, step up your game and push your limits too. So I got to credit a lot of my friends in competition, just that we all push each other to be better and to learn more and to figure out that bite, even when the bite's tough to come by sometimes. So
I gotta agree 100% on that, because when I was staying at the Susky with, like, all your friends,
you saw it,
dude. Like, I mean, every day, like, I'd wake up tired as shit and motivate, because, like, you would see, you know, Russ Snyder get up like probably about 15 minutes before everyone else, and he start working on stuff, and then you see the rest of the gang, and then, like, you don't see each other, but, like, you know everyone's putting in work, and you know everyone's going, like, it's just, like, it made me want to, like, it was weird, because I usually don't do that much, you know, as far as, like, dude, I probably tried, like, 6-7 different spots, and I'm not really known to do that. Like, I mean, I usually have 2 or 3 spots, and that's it, but, like, those guys just all over the place, not wasting any time, and really trying to figure out what's going to be the best approach come tournament day, and it is kind of, like, you know, that kind of, like, enthusiasm, that kind of energy is kind of addictive. I mean,
yeah, you see what it takes to win, or you see what it takes to get some success, and no surprise that it's usually the answer is a lot of hard work. But if you love the work you're doing, then it's all worth it.
All right, well, cool, gentlemen. Have you got anything else you want to say?
I'll just go ahead and give extra love to Mark and Bass Brains, like that brand. If you ever see the Keep On Fishing brand too, that's just synonymous with it. But I've been lucky enough to know Mark for a long time and seen his own work ethic and his talents, whether it's picking up a guitar and writing a song or painting a motorcycle, or did you shape surfboards? I can't remember if you shaped a surfboard. Did you ever do that?
I tried to get into it, but I
whatever Mark wants to do. If he wanted to build a TV or build, like, you know, dining room sets or whatever, give him 2 years and he's probably going to be one of the best ones to do it. So it's been fun just seeing him and being able to give him feedback on what it can take to make a swim bait. So I'm genuinely excited for him and the brand, and it's something that I think is going to get used a lot in my fishing arsenal here pretty soon.
Cool.
Oh. Well, yeah,
cool, it was nice. I need friends like Adam. I mean,
dude, he's a good guy, man. I've known this dude for a long time, and yeah, man, thanks, Adam. And I just appreciate you. You know, it's good to have a buddy that you know fishes more than you do, and I fish a lot. And to have somebody who has the knowledge that Adam has and can get some of these baits into certain areas and just, you know, also knows baits in general, because he has a lot of different swim baits. And, you know, he played a big part in helping me get my hands on some baits too, just to see what I was up against, you know, because I don't have the money. I really didn't. And I don't have the money to, you know, to buy certain things, to just even see what other guys can do, because, you know, like, a swim video only does you so much, but, like, it's cool. Like, Adam's helped me out a lot, so I said thanks, man, and thank you for having me on the podcast. Appreciate that. It's cool. It's like
cool, man. Adam, you want to thank anyone else besides, like, I know we got some of the same people that support us. Is there anyone you want to thank before we wrap this up?
Yeah, same group of sponsors that have been helping me big time this whole season. Dugout Bait and Tackle down in Marietta, Georgia. They just launched their website, so now you don't have to be there in person to purchase stuff. Just so I don't misquote it, just look up whatever their website is. Just look up Dugout Bait and Tackle, so I don't give you the wrong website. Dakota Lithium, they've been a huge supporter of our kayak community this year, especially have stepped it up in a lot of big ways. And man, you want to talk about the way to go as far as power and whatever your rig is, be it big or small, those lithium batteries from Dakota have been a big deal for me. So yeah, I'll give them both a shout out. Yak Attack, let's see, Bending Branches, both have been mainstays with me as well. So this year's been my first year in a Hobie 360, and that's been just a huge, huge deal for now that I'm able to look back and see how that 360 drive's played a big part in my season so far. So yeah, shout out to all those. They've all been big players for me this year, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
All right, cool. Well, I appreciate it, guys. It was a good episode. Good luck with everything. Good luck with the rest of the season, Adam. Good luck with bass burnings, Mark. I'm a fan, so, you know, I'm sure my arsenal of lures will change here in the near future as well. Yeah, so well,
come yeah, down here if you get too cold this winter, man. Bring me some deer meat, and we'll put you on some fish this winter or something.
All right, sounds good. You guys have a good night. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks, Josh. Guys.